Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Parents, I'm just preparing you in advance. Your kids are about to go into a deep depression, a very deep depression, because it looks like the government has got their foot on the accelerator of getting rid of TikTok.
Yeah, so the Senate just passed, it went through the House a few weeks ago and just passed basically a law that says if TikTok wants to continue to operate within the United States, that ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok, which is based in China, even though TikTok is headquartered in Singapore, which is not Chinese, is going to have to sell the company to an American company. And this really stemmed out of concerns about Americans' data and privacy, with allegations that China, because ByteDance owns TikTok, will have access to millions of Americans' data. TikTok had responded by saying, hey, we don't share that data, and as a result, we are going to spend billions, essentially, building a data center in Texas where American user data will be stored, but that wasn't good enough. And it's believed that Joe Biden will sign this into law in the next few days because he has vocalized support for this. TikTok is going to be pushing back, saying this violates their First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. And a lot of TikTok creators, it's really going to cost the U.S. economy millions and millions. And one figure I even saw billions of dollars, because so many small business owners get publicity off TikTok, whether it's soaps or jewelry, music, whatever it is. I mean, how many songs are you hearing on the radio that you heard on TikTok first now? So I'm obviously team TikTok because I found so many communities on there health-wise that have helped me out. But a lot of people, there's also a lot of trash on TikTok as well. So it's really however you make your algorithm, but that's where we're at. But it really, it had become such a platform for grassroots movements and people to talk to each other and explore new ideas. So personally, I think this is, it's a sad day.
I think, you know what? I told you we weren't going to talk about politics on the air, and we're not, but this is a load of crap right here. I've told you guys before, man. If you watched any of those hearings on TikTok, there really is no proof that this is being tracked down to the Chinese government. These companies have done everything they can to assure the government, but here's what they're doing. And if you read through the lines here, here's what's going on is that, look, you guys are the ones that vote. And we know that 75% of parents wish their kids were off of TikTok or offline, because the biggest complaint with parents is that I can't get my kids to look me in the eyes or on their phones all the time. So knowing this, Congress goes ahead and makes this a thing. Like, oh, the Chinese could be spying on us. And you, as a voting citizen and as an adult, will say to yourself and your representative, thank God they're protecting the children. There has been no evidence, zero. And it was actually laughable how mean and how uneducated, right? The reps were at Congress when this whole thing was going on. It's terrible.
They were fishing. They were asking the TikTok CEO over and over again about his ties to China, which he's from Singapore. That would be kind of like grilling an American. So you don't know about Canada. You don't have ties with Canada. You know, they're
ridiculous.
Not the same country at all. And a lot of the speculation also is it's one of the most, I mean, it's one of the biggest social media networks that's not owned by an American. If you look at Meta with Instagram and Facebook, you've got Mark Zuckerberg, ex-Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, Elon Musk, who, you know, does a lot of business in America, even though he is not American born. So this, because it's sourced out, a lot of people are saying as well, you know, America doesn't have control over the platform in some way, and that's got to be fixed. But on that platform, I have seen on the ground, like, videos from people in Ukraine during the war. It's not just dumb dances or misinformation. There's a lot of news and information sharing on there. And I think that's particularly what people are mourning, that and the business aspect of losing.
How many of these blue hairs in Congress have ever even checked out TikTok?
They wouldn't even know.
They don't even know how to spell it correctly.
No, didn't Nancy Pelosi say tic-tac-toe?
Tic-tac-toe. Yeah, she did.
Win!
You know, I feel very strongly about this because I have a kid that's 16 years old and I go through the exact same things you guys are going through also. My chief complaint is me trying to figure out exactly how much time he should be online, him scrolling mindlessly through TikTok. I'm doing the same thing you guys are doing. So as a parent, I should be going like, yes. Now, he's only going to go to another platform. Mm. I mean, he's going to make up that time. I've already have him on a block for he has a certain amount of time that he can be online. He's just going to find something else.
He will find something else. And what I love about TikTok, too, is if you're on there for, I've gotten this message a few times, there's literally a video of someone that pops up and goes, hey, you've been scrolling for quite a while. Do you want to go take a break or do you want to go to bed? And I'm like, this is the only platform I know of that's saying, like, hey, please leave us because you've been here too long. It's not healthy.
Did it say when this is going to go into effect or still has to be voted through?
Biden still has to sign off on, like, approve it.
Okay.
So there's not a timeline, but I would expect it to be in the next few days. Now, the implementation of that is probably going to be a lot tougher, so I wouldn't expect to see it immediately.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Forget Ozempic because Delta Burke reveals that she has tried crystal meth for weight loss. This is an actress who was really big in the 80s. And she says that, you know, if she wanted to drop a couple of pounds, she just would do the drugs.
Now, nobody knew about crystal meth at the time. And so she said, here it is. You chop it up. You snort it. I said, I don't want to snort it. So I put it in cranberry juice and drink it. And I thought, well, this looks good. And it was before I go to work on Filthy Rich.
With crystal meth inside it.
Yeah. And wouldn't eat for 5 days. And they were still saying, your butt's too big. Your legs are too big. And I now look back at those pictures and go, I was a freaking goddess.
Who's interviewing her?
I got this from our platform where they don't tell us where.
Got it from that because that doesn't seem like, I mean, maybe they were so uncomfortable that they laughed. It's one of those uncomfortable laughs, but I feel like somebody telling you that they were using a hard drug like crystal meth to lose weight isn't really a laughing matter.
Well, I mean, it was fact back in the day. I mean, people did know what it was. I lived through it.
No. I'm saying like, yeah, even then. Then if you somebody told you that, you wouldn't laugh. And now as she's relaying the story, it just seems, and I can only think as a person who's interviewed a lot of people, she must have been so uncomfortable that sometimes you just nervously laugh because you don't know, you don't really know what to say. Kind of like that guy when Kanye was telling him he's a god, right?
Right.
And you just like, you don't know what to do, so you just kind of laugh along or whatever. It came across very odd.
Yeah, let me adjust this real quick. It was from her own podcast, the Glamorous Trash Podcast, which is, you know, I think cranberry juice and crystal meth, you know, glamorous trash. Makes a lot of sense, right?
You lose weight and you're not going to get a UTI. What a time to be alive in the 80s.
Let's just say the Burt Show doesn't condone. Here's our PSA for the day. Don't use crystal meth to lose weight. Boom, boom, boom.
There you go.
Yeah, real against drugs.
There you go.
Okay, so you know I'm really against reboots, but I feel like recently I've been like, I've had to eat my words because there's been a lot of reboots that have come out where I'm like, oh, I actually really do want to see that, and so now I feel kind of bad that I've come out and said no reboots because if this doesn't go through, I'm gonna be kind of sad. But there's a potential The Office reboot that has already started. Allegedly casting some A-listers like Donald Gleason, who plays one of the Weasleys in Harry Potter. He's in like so many movies. You would know his face, but not his name. He's got red hair. He was in About Time with Rachel McAdams.
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies.
Right?
I know who you're talking
about.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, he's in like, he has the best career because he's been in so many amazing movies. Again, Harry Potter, a couple of other things, but if you just saw him on the street, you'd be like, oh, I know that guy. And you'd probably leave him alone.
His dad for the Harry Potter stands is Mad-Eye Moody. in Harry Potter.
Oh, no way.
It's a very, Brendan Gleeson is a very famous acting family. He's also in Black Mirror. And more recently, if you're a Star Wars fan, he plays one of the evil Star Wars captains with red hair.
I seriously almost called you the other day because my goddaughter is having a birthday party soon and it's Harry Potter themed. And I don't know the first thing about Harry Potter.
No way.
What did you send us the other day? You sent us like a Voldemort thing on TikTok, on Instagram.
Yeah. So somebody was watching Harry Potter and there is something now with your TV that you can hook it up to your lights. So when something happens on the TV, like somebody in Harry Potter shot something out of a wand, yeah, it was green, and the lights in your house went green.
Whoa.
And like the lights in the house correspond with your television. So like if you were watching Star Wars and the red lightsaber came, yeah, on, a red light would come off from like from your TV and from your house, and it would be like,
oh, cool. That's fly.
It actually looked really hella cool, but it was Harry Potter, so I sent it to Cassie and Abby because I'm like, you know, they're Potter heads or whatever.
It's fun and seizure-inducing at the same time.
It was flashing like that.
Do y'all think The Office lasts the test of time? Because I really feel like I need to sit down and watch it at some point.
Yes.
It does and it doesn't. There are some problematic episodes that definitely would not be able to air today. Steve Carell, who plays the lead. Uh-huh.
The HR episode would not be able to be played anymore. You'll love it.
Yeah, okay. It's hella funny.
All right. I keep hearing it.
It's like that uncomfortable funny. Like there are some, like I even can't even watch the screen because it's so uncomfortable what's happening. But
I'm here for that.
Yeah, Michael Scott's highly, highly problematic and inappropriate.
You will love it.
All right, I'm on it.
The Office for me is like Friends, where everybody quotes things from it, so I know quotes and I know specific episodes, but I have never sat down to watch an entire episode of The Office. I know I love Jim Halpert, and that's about it, and I've seen a couple of clips on TikTok that have gone viral, but I can't make myself sit down because there's just so many seasons, it feels overwhelming.
Same.
If there was one episode you would recommend, Cassie?
Oh my God, let me think, because I just started...
Like jillion seasons.
I just started rewatching it myself because I love it so much.
I'm telling you, the HR one is
the
HR one. Oh my God, it's so offensive.
The dinner party. You have to watch the dinner party episode.
I would say the CPR episode.
Oh, that's
every time it gets me. I'm staying alive. But Dwight at the end, when he turns around, you gotta watch it. If you know, you know.
You will, it is still funny.
I'm already
Okay, Megan Thee Stallion's getting sued by her former photographer. He says he was forced to watch her. Get it on. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Get it. The Burt Show.
You can mess with me, but don't mess with my bubble. That's what Audrey here is pretty much saying, because... She's really upset that some dude ghosted her mom, and she wanted to know why, and we got answers for her. Hey, Audrey.
Hey.
I understand you're very, very, very protective of your mom, as you should be. So tell us what got us here.
Okay, well, basically, my mom got out of a really crappy marriage and has finally gotten to the point where she was ready to date again. So, my siblings and I have just been super happy and excited for this new chapter in her life. And my brother met a guy when he was out the other night. And basically, him and my sister-in-law met this guy when he was sitting at a bar and they were out to dinner, right? So then they thought, okay, this guy seems really great for our mom. So they asked him if he was open for it, and he's like, yeah, sure. So obviously we were super excited, and my mom was too after hearing about it. So my mom and this guy went out 2 weeks ago, and, you know, she left the date, and she was group texting us that it was, like, such a magical night and, you know, thanked us for being super supportive. And it's basically been 2 weeks, and she's, like, more self-conscious than ever because he has totally ghosted her.
Aww. Oh, the first date post-resort and post-divorce, and he ghosted her?
Yeah. So she's not feeling the greatest. Mm. And I try to tell her, like, Mom, you're hot. Like, it has nothing to do with you. Like, trust me. And she's like, no. Like, I don't think so. You know, something's wrong or whatever. So I was just wondering if you guys might be able to, like, help me find out. Like, maybe I can give you his number or you guys can reach out to him or something.
Yeah, this is one of the few times you can turn around your parents' words and say, welcome to the real world. Younger women have been going through this for years now, right?
Yeah.
No, I understand the insecurity here on mom's part. Mm-hmm. Look, it's really, really tough. As a guy that's been divorced, Going out on that first date after when you've been out of the pool for so long, it's terrifying, right? But you got to get that first one out of the way. And when it ends up in a ghosting situation, which she hasn't felt in years and years, if ever, I can understand how, as a daughter, you'd be like, when you want to find out, you want reasons. You want answers.
Of course.
All right. So I believe that we will have Tommy. You have results here. Okay. So you want to tell her exactly what you did?
Yeah. I reached out. Audrey gave me the guy's number and I texted with him. We're going to call him Rob. And Audrey, I have good news and I have bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is it is something about your mom. That is why he is not going for the second date.
How long did it take him to hit you back on his BlackBerry?
Why do you say that? He does come across as a little elderly, but it was in relative good time. But the good news is I think your mom dodged a bullet here.
Okay.
I won't give it away yet, but you'll see why. I said, hey, Rob, my name's Tommy. I work with The Bird Show. And he hit me back. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. What is that? And I said, we're a morning radio show and a podcast.
FM.
And he said,
That's really thrown him.
I said, okay. Okay, hello, Tommy with The Bird Show. What's this about? And I said, well, we got a message from a woman named Audrey. She mentioned that her mom went on a date with you recently. And, well, she's a bit confused because it seems like things were going well, but then you kind of disappeared. And she's a bit disappointed for her mom. And then Rob said, I don't know a woman named Audrey. Who's her mom? And I said, of course, her mom is Carol. You went out a couple of weeks ago. And he said, yes, that's correct. And how does this concern you and The Bird Show, Tommy? He's very formal. And I said, well, we often do a segment where we find out why second dates don't happen when one party thinks they had a great first date. Audrey says you ghosted her mom, and she's hoping you could shed some light on why there's been no second date.
What's ghosting, youngster?
Well, that's exactly what he said.
He said, really?
He said, I ghosted? What does that mean? And I said, ghosted basically means you disappeared on him and ended all communication. And he goes, right, well, I guess I ghosted then because there's no need to continue communicating with someone you just met but have no intention of going forward with. And I said, I understand, but Audrey's hoping for a bit more of an explanation. What happened on the date, or is there something specific you didn't like about her mom, Carol? And he goes, yes, there was.
Oh my goodness.
And then two words. Her feet.
That she had two?
I said,
or did she not have enough feet?
What's the problem?
I said her feet. And he goes, correct. And I was like, you can't be serious. I had the same exact reaction you guys are having. And he said, I'm very serious. Her feet just weren't my cup of tea.
Didn't y'all ever watch the movie Boomerang?
Yes,
feet are a big deal.
Yeah. That's a good callback.
We have a Burt's Big Adventure mom that was in that movie.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you later. Uh-huh.
And I said, you're saying you won't go on a second date with her because of her feet? And he said, yes, that is correct. And I said, I feel like you're pulling my leg. But I didn't mean it like that. He said, very clever, Tommy. He had the same reaction. I said, no pun was intended.
Your prosthetic leg?
Not pulling anyone's leg. I just have a preference. Her feet were a bit big for my taste, and I'm very particular about the shape and length of each toe.
Fam.
Yeah. I have a type.
Weirdo.
Right. And I said, you saw her feet on the first date? And he said, I certainly did. She was wearing sandals. If she hadn't been, I would have asked she remove her shoes I could see.
So this is not a mom problem.
I said, okay, well, I think that's a lame reason to blow off a relationship, but I guess everyone has their deal breakers. Thanks for your time. And he said, you are welcome. So evidently, dude has a foot fetish.
Okay. So this
is not. No, he doesn't have a foot fetish.
He's beyond it.
He has a foot type. He has a foot preference. Yeah, semantics.
So this is not a your mom thing. It's a Ralph thing.
Please tell her his name is Rob.
An older name feels like Ralph.
That's correct. My step grandfather's named Ralph.
There you go.
let your mom know there was literally nothing she could do on this date.
No.
Literally nothing.
How about wearing closed-toed shoes? That might help.
God, my mom didn't get involved with him. He sounds weirdo.
Hey, nice I know you want to nurture your mom through this whole process. It's just tough out there. It doesn't matter what generation it is, right?
No, totally. I agree.
All right. Again, tell her not a her thing, a him thing. You got your info. She dodged a bullet.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
You definitely appreciate it. Bye-bye.
It's The Burt Show.
Hey, y'all. It's Katie here from The Burt Show. Pride unites us all, and so does Atlanta United. That's why I'm giving you the chance to win a spot in The Burt Show's Pride Night Suite in celebration of Pride Month. That's right. Join me and The Burt Show crew on Sunday, June 2nd, as Atlanta United takes on the fierce rival, Charlotte FC, with kickoff at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We need to beat Charlotte, so we will be loud and proud. Believe that. Oh, and by the way, did I mention Atlanta United is giving away a one-of-a-kind Pride-inspired towel, plus a $5 donation to Lost and Found Youth, an Atlanta-based nonprofit that provides services to the LGBTQ+ youth, which is included with your Pride Night ticket pack. Remember, to enter for your chance to win a spot in The Burt Show's Pride Night Suite, head over to theburtshow.com. To guarantee your tickets and Pride towel, go to atlutd.com and click the promotional packs tab for more details. Can't wait to see you all there June 2nd at 4:30 p.m. Together, we are Atlanta. Atlanta United. See you there.
Are you looking for excitement in Atlanta? Well, you got it right down the street at Mercedes-Benz. That's where Atlanta United plays. And I've been telling you for years, it's one of the most exciting nights that you will have with your family. Soccer is different. It's just different than going to a football game, baseball game. There is no downtime. I mean, the excitement lasts the entire game at an Atlanta United match. And it doesn't even matter if you're really, really into soccer or not. I'll tell you one way to get into soccer. Just go to one Atlanta United game and you will get caught up in the excitement so much that you'll become a lifelong fan. I'm telling you this right now. I love bringing my son Hollis there. I love bringing his friends there. I know it's going to be a safe family event, and I know I'm going to walk out of there. I got some memories now with my kids. So don't look any further. You got one of the best soccer teams in the country right here in our own backyard, Atlanta United. Just give it one try, Atlanta United. You can always get your tickets at atlutd.com.
If you're looking for somewhere to celebrate, whether it be a birthday or a graduation or anniversary, may I recommend an Atlanta United match? So my husband and I just celebrated our 7th wedding anniversary. He is a massive Atlanta United fan. So, of course, we decided to go to a match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and had the best time. I'm telling you, if you're a super fan, if you're a casual fan, going to an Atlanta United match is a great way to celebrate. My husband got to watch a great match, and I got to enjoy delicious wine, and I also may have gone to the team shop and got myself a new sweatshirt. I'm very excited about my new Atlanta United sweatshirt. And kudos to Atlanta's fan base, because every time we ride MARTA to go down to a match, it is packed full of people wearing their Atlanta United gear. Visit atlutd.com for tickets and also for the match schedule. That's atlutd.com.
Get it? The Burt Show.
You're already into work or you're in the car and you're listening late to The Burt Show live. Well, you missed a bunch of stuff earlier this morning, like the most embarrassing drunk texts of all time were great. Cassie might be starting a modeling career. That is very exciting. Also, if you missed any of that, you can always get caught up on demand when you got time to listen, either segment by segment or the whole show at one time. You can do that at theburtshow.com or any podcasting platform. All right, Kristen, the question is absence really a gift for dudes specifically?
Yes. So I am married to a man, and I would love for the men to weigh in as if to the, if this would be a good gift, if you would appreciate this gift from your wife or significant other, okay? Because
is it your absence?
Yes, it is.
Then yes, it's a gift.
Absolutely. We can move on.
The gift I would like to give my husband is the gift of my absence. and also our son's absence.
If Bart wants to re-gift that to me, I'd be totally down.
Kiss my ass, okay? So here's the deal. We don't have a typical dynamic in our home because my husband, though more men are becoming stay-at-home dads, my husband is the stay-at-home dad, and he is with Jimmy, you know, a majority of the time. And my husband is fantastic. He helps me be the best Kristen I can be for the Burt Show. So he picks up the slack. He'll let me sleep in on the weekends so I can get some extra rest. Like, the man's a saint, okay? Which is why he won the couples court the other day, because you guys obviously love him more than you love me. That is fine. I totally get it. So what I would like to gift him is me and Jimmy going away for a weekend. So that is actually something I was thinking of for, like, you know, for Father's Day, or, you know, I was actually contemplating doing this for our anniversary as an anniversary gift, is me booking a flight to go see our friend in Raleigh or go see our friends, one of our friends down in Florida, and just getting the hell out of Dodge for a weekend. I know for a lot of stay-at-home moms, because I'm heavy in the mommy algorithm on Instagram, that what moms want is just some time to their damn selves. Mm-hmm. They just want to be able to take a shower by themselves. They want to be able to drop a deuce by themselves, like, just like little things. And they would just love a weekend to themselves, the peace and quiet, nothing. And I'm talking about not from the husband, not from the kids, not from the animals, not from anybody.
You don't want to be touched.
Exactly.
Kids are touching you all day. And then at the end of a long day, he comes in and gets himself all handsy. You're like, yes, leave me alone.
So for stay-at-home dads, or for men, if your woman came to you and said, I am giving you the gift of absence. I am taking the kids and I'm going away for the weekend so you can have the house entirely to yourself. Would that be a good gift? Because I just didn't know if, like, it would be the same.
Well, at first I would think you said absinthe, and I'd say yes.
No, absinthe.
Absinthe free. I think you and I are very similar like this, though.
I think so too.
But you're in a long distance relationship, so you already have absinthe like built into your relationship.
Exactly. See, I had to have it in my contract coming in. See my point? I wish we would normalize that more. I mean, I know there are a lot of couples who don't, I guess, see the reasoning for space, but I think it's so important. I think it's healthy.
Sometimes you just need a break.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I know some people think, well, maybe you don't love them as much if you need some time away. I think that's completely false. I think that's how you continue to keep and maintain that level of love, is through space. So if you come to me and offering me a weekend of space in my relationship, no strings attached, that's just all it is, I'd be extremely happy. That's one of the best gifts you could give me.
Yeah, I'd say younger couples make this mistake quite a bit. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen it more with women than I have young guys, in that you should want to be with me all the time. Why would you want to be hanging out with your friends? I mean, we're so close and we're in love, so they get offended when a guy tries to step out and get a little bit of space. It makes a statement about them and they take it personally. And I've seen that a lot over the years, but I think it's an individual thing. Yes, space is super important to me.
Okay.
Super important. I am looking for a relationship where I can miss somebody over and over again. So when they walk through that door, I'm like, I am right there focused.
Okay,
100%.
Two for two. Now, Tommy, you've been married. Is Tommy in there? There you go. Tommy, you've been married for like 82 years. If Renee came to you,
it's the best.
Oh, okay.
What are we talking about?
I love her, but like, she travels for work now, and she tells me her upcoming schedule, and I just go, oh, I'll be able to sit in my man cave and enjoy it. And I have to answer question after question after question after question.
There is something about being in a quiet house all by yourself. Mo and I are the only one. Well, Abby, too, that experience. No, you even have a cat.
It's always quiet at my house. Ain't nobody there.
I mean, when I pull up and there's no cars in the driveway, and I know I don't have to tell somebody about my day. As soon as I walk in the door, I just got done talking for 5.5 hours and I don't got to talk anymore.
That part.
It warms my heart.
The downside of that is I have to get up every morning and take Coco out for a walk and get her poop up and all that. Normally Renee does that. I miss that part.
Oh my God, you don't miss your wife. You miss the chores she does for you.
Right.
The thing is, and I'm sure men might feel differently, and this is semantics. If I went home and Chad was like, my husband Chad said, I'm taking the kids, we're going away for the weekend to give you the house to yourself, I would be so hurt. I'm like, I want to go on that trip with you guys and have those memories. But if I went home and he's like, get out of here for the weekend, go do something, I'm like, yes, I'm out. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to miss out on making memories, but I'm fine with missing playing at home.
See, I tried to send Bart somewhere and he didn't want to do that.
Right. Yeah, I feel like we've been here before and this is what he wanted. He's cool with you going away.
Yeah.
But he also fills that time up with doing more stuff around the house because he grew up on a farm in Kentucky where he worked from 5 in the morning till 5 at night.
Well, and that last time I had booked him a trip and he didn't want it. And I was like, well, screw it. Then I will take it. So, because everything I got was non-refundable. And I'm like, well, I'll just transfer the flight in my name and I'll take Jimmy with me.
Cass does bring up a valid point because now I'm thinking about it. If I was in that situation and y'all told me y'all were going somewhere like really fly that I haven't been and want to go, I don't know that I would want the space as
much. Well, I'm not taking freaking Jimmy to Cancun.
All right, just making sure.
We're going to freaking Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Have a great time. You're on your own there.
I figured.
You're on The Burt Show.
Want to hear something else that I do that is nonsensical?
Please.
Very judgmental and really stupid. I realize that I judge dogs that don't grieve.
Oh.
This is the second time in a year now. So when my English bulldog, Riggins, my heartbeat passed away, I was so depressed. I mean, I don't cry very often. I had to lock myself in my room. I cried into a pillow. I cried. I had another bulldog at the time, Tyra. She wasn't upset. She was having the time of her life. She's like, I'm glad that guy's gone. So I'm house sitting now for my ex-wife, and they just had a dog that passed away, Paulie also. So I am now house sitting with Sugar Bear.
Oh, so you're dog sitting at your house?
Dog sitting, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dog sitting Sugar Bear. And Sugar Bear comes in there. She, so
she's
asked,
a big happy floof.
She does, man. She's got no teeth. It's awesome. I love playing tug of war with her. I'm like, you can't win. I am undefeated.
You ain't got no grip.
So I asked Stacey. I'm like, how's she holding up with Paulie's gone? She's like, oh, man. She hadn't even, like, no sniffing, no nothing. Nothing at all. And I kind of looked at her differently, like, you cold bitch. Relationship has definitely changed, man. Definitely.
No, Leroy for sure grieved when we lost Parker.
Yeah, I think it goes one of two ways. Yeah. And some dogs are like, oh my God, now I get all the attention. Mm. Bye. All right, Mo, so you're at a party. You think you see party fouls. Maybe others don't see it the same way.
Right. And so I brought this debate to my podcast in the moment, and Katie disagreed with me on a couple, and I'm curious as to what you guys will think about what I deem to be five party fouls that happened at my dad's 50th celebration that I think happens at parties all the time. So I'm here to help. Now, the first thing that I saw as a party foul, I have learned that this could be a cultural thing. So I'm curious as to how this would work between a black party and a white party. If a party starts at 6 p.m., what time do you get there?
If a party starts at 6, because I know when I'm throwing parties, I'm almost never ready for guests at 6. So I show up around like 6:20.
Okay.
6:30.
Okay.
No earlier than 6:30, but I'm probably getting there right before 7.
All right. So for me, I'm thinking the same thing. 6:15, the earliest. Mm-hmm. Like no one should be there before 6:15, right?
You never want to be the first one through the door.
There were people ringing the doorbell at 5:50 and 5:55 for a 6 p.m. party. Nah. I've never seen this before.
Were those parents of young children?
Yes.
They're looking to get out of
That's
the house.
That's what I figured it might have been. I mean, I saw the whole house go into a panic when the doorbell started ringing early.
I disagree. As a parent of a young child, we're leaving later now than we ever have before because it takes forever to get out of the house when you have a young kid because there's all like you got to prep the babysitter, you got to prep the house, you got to do. So for a young kid, like we were super late to an event and it was all Jimmy's fault.
When my kids were younger, if I was going to a party to start at 7, we hired the sitter to be there at 2 o'clock.
So typically, yes, fashionably late is still a thing.
Yes. Now, however, that's late, girl.
That's very fashionably.
You want to be like, you want to jazz up the party when you get there. So if you get there at 6:45, everyone's gotten through their first drink. So when you show up, the reaction you're going to get is, Abby's here! But if you're there at 6:15, then you have to do all that awkward small talk before people get a little bit buzzed.
That's a good point.
So you want, like, when a WWE wrestler comes out of the back before he makes it into the ring, you got the smoke,
fireworks,
lasers.
Yeah. Abby's here!
Yeah, everyone's excited to see you because they've been talking to the same person in the corner for the last 20 minutes.
They're halfway drunk.
Yeah, they're halfway drunk. So they're looking for a little mental stimulation, and you're going to provide that.
Gotcha.
Now, on the other end of that, if you are working the party, if you are a bartender, if you are a DJ or anything like that, and the party starts at 6, what time would you get there?
If you're preparing all the whole bar and liquor and everything like that?
Yes.
Less than an hour early.
You
got to be there an hour early.
It just depends on how long your setup takes. Like if you're a DJ and you know it takes you 30 minutes to get your setup, you need to be there whenever you know you can get there and have everything set up ready to go at 6 o'clock when the party starts.
DJ got there at 5:58.
No.
There were people ringing the doorbell. We ain't have a DJ yet. This is what was going on.
That's too late. Did he set up in the 2 minutes before everybody was there?
It took him a little more than 2 minutes, but it didn't take him too long. But I got a friend that's a DJ that does this all the time.
Nah, I can hear my dad in the back of my head. It's better to be, 60 minutes early than 1 minute late.
Bingo. Now, if you are working the party, like you're a bartender per se, and you're bartending for a home, I would say it's a party foul to have any kind of attitude towards the patrons of the party.
Well, yeah, you have to be personable. I mean, you don't have to be, overly, kissing ass, but you got to be nice.
Yeah.
This was the first time I saw a bartender annoyed that she had to bartend at a house party. I've never seen this before. It was my first time. She was literally annoyed. I asked for 2 waters. She got annoyed with me. And I'm like, ma'am, I live here.
There's a faucet over there.
No, I told her I would get it myself, and she got an attitude that I tried to get it myself. But then she got an attitude that she had to get it from me. So I'm like, how do I win?
That is the most comfortable place for me at a party, honestly, making drinks for everybody else. I love being back there. I have pissed bartenders off. And I'm like, I got this. The bartenders that I've hired back there, just because it feels social and I know how buzzed I want people to get at that party. I love it.
All right. Final two. Anything that has to do. I was so annoyed. It was all right at first, but then it got crazy. Anything that has to do with when are you getting married? When are you having a child? When is the next step of the relationship? Are you in love? Can we just stop asking people this at Paul? Why is this necessary to ask?
It's an icebreaker. They're just looking for anything, but it's rude.
I hated it. I got asked that question at least 15 times at this party. It got to the point I couldn't enjoy the party.
Like, it's okay to be like, hey, how's the lady doing? How, you know, but to be like, when you get married, when you gonna have kids, then that's evasive.
Last but not least, this was the biggest party foul of my dad's party. After the party the next day.
Oh, so this all happened at your dad's 50th?
All happened at his 50th. The next day, he goes into the fridge to get the food that was put to the side for him on his 50th, on his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody went in the fridge and ate it.
No.
And it wasn't family, because everybody in the family was like, I'd admit it if it was me. It was literally a guest. So we don't know who.
He made himself a special leftover plate.
Yes.
And one of the guests went in there and took the plate with them.
They ate all of it. Nothing was there.
You're going to do that at a police officer's party? What are you, an idiot?
No, if we find them, they're getting arrested.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Some men are like, you got to do what? But a former employee, Megan Thee Stallion, was kind of mad about it. So a photographer says that Megan Thee Stallion made him watch her, kid warning, have sex with another woman while they were in a car together. So a photographer named Emilio Garcia is suing Megan, claiming that this happened in the back of an SUV in Spain back in 2022. And then afterwards, she's like, don't tell anyone about this. Don't say anything. And he's also saying that Megan has fat shamed him, verbally abused him, and also underpaid him. So he's asking for all these wages that she, I guess, didn't pay him. And at some point, his pay structure changed to this weird thing, is what he's saying, where instead of just getting paid like
$10 a year or whatever it was, whatever the number is. He would get paid per task. So he would have to submit an invoice like, oh, I got this today. I did this today. I took this many pictures. And then slowly all of those started to dwindle until finally she no longer employed him. So that's why he's suing, because he's like, this, I should have gotten paid more than this. And on top of that, I had to deal with all of this BS. What's very interesting about this whole situation, though, is the same guy who is representing the dancer suing Lizzo is also representing him. So he's obviously in the business of trying to get some money out of celebs for the way they've treated their employees.
Yeah, I would be upset too if I was in the, like, with somebody I work with and you start doing something like that in front of me. That's just, it's super inappropriate.
This is one of the questions we asked Usher the other day. For everything that this industry has given him, has it taken away his ability to trust? And he was like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, if this is all true, it's horrible. And a lot of people who were saying, like you said, jokingly, like he should have enjoyed it. But I don't think those people realize that he's gay. He came out and said that. So that wouldn't even have been enjoyable. It's foul if it happened.
Yeah, 100%. But I almost wonder, and I'm by no means making this credible in any way, but I, you know, if you're in Ibiza and, you know, everyone's drunk in the back of a car or whatever, I almost wonder if in the moment it was one of those things that wasn't a big deal, but now that he's been wronged by her, he's like, I can definitely use this against her, if that makes sense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And a reminder that, you know, Lizzo's still going through a lawsuit too. So this guy's either going to get a big payday, this lawyer who is coming after all these celebs, or some more stuff is going to come out about him.
I feel like Lizzo's just over it. Like, you haven't heard anything from her. I mean, for a long time there, she was making headlines, and I think it was intoxicating for her to, like, be a little shocking, but I think the comments have gotten to her so much, and I think she might have said this, like, I'm giving up music.
Did she say that? Yeah, recently she had a post saying that she was just over everything and she was done with the public.
She said, I quit, but she's not quitting music. She's quitting caring about what people think.
Okay.
She clarified, because everybody was like, we thought she was just like going to quit. And she's like, no, I'm quitting all this drama and I'm quitting worrying about all of this.
Just turn the comments off. That's all.
No. Yeah, and focus on, because she has a really successful undergarment brand. So honestly, I wouldn't blame her if she gave up music in the long run and just kind of did the Rihanna thing where you just get your coin off of making different businesses.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing I've said for the longest time. I don't know why anybody would sign up for this kind of celebrity, man. It seems like a nightmare.
Well, the money and the fame and the privilege is
not
pretty
worth
nice.
It. I don't think it's worth it.
Especially today.
Yeah. Well, speaking of new business ventures, Kanye has a new one, and it's porn, apparently. So allegedly, he is reportedly thinking about making his own porn studio called Yeezy Porn.
He's not planning on starring in any of these, is he?
Well, no, I think he just wants to. I think he just wants to run the studio.
That's going
to
be a lonely link.
People are thinking he's the one who's forcing his wife to walk around and barely anything anyway.
Apparently, it's going to be up and running as early as this summer. He's working with a guy named Mike Maz, who is a veteran in this industry and is also the ex-husband of Stormy Daniels. So, very interesting business venture for Kanye, considering he had an album called Jesus is King recently.
He went from a gospel album to porn in record-breaking time.
And also, didn't he just say he's God?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, God's got some interesting tastes these days.
Looks like God has evolved. It's evolving with time.
Yeah.
Some people might like that religion, so we'll see.
Let me ask you a question about his wife real quick. And maybe I asked this to you guys before. So, I'm assuming she dresses differently around their kids, right?
No.
I don't think
she doesn't?
So. They've been photoed together to where she still had on something similar to what you normally see her in.
So, if you're Kim, you're entitled to call him and go, can we do something about the way she's dressing around our kids? Can't you?
She's entitled to.
Kim?
Yeah,
she doesn't really dress like a... I mean, you've seen his wife's, like, outfits now. I mean, she's basically...
Naked.
It's 98% naked. She's got to cover up the parts so she doesn't get arrested. But as a mother... This would be a real fine line here, because if the stepmom is dressing like that around the kids, I think you got a right to call Pops up and go, hey, I don't think that's what I want in their house.
Kim knows what she's dealing with. You can say something. It'll make him, she'll be naked. Kanye will be like, oh, you don't like what she's wearing now?
Yeah.
Wait till you see what I come up with next.
She can get more naked.
All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I'm not a fan of diffusing hope, but Kristen, you have none here.
What? Jeez.
In this one particular area, there is no hope. And you are lying to yourself.
There's always hope, Herbert.
There is no hope here. This case is closed. It is cold.
I need to get a hold of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's my only hope. If you're a Star Wars fan, you get that reference. If you're not, whatever.
Even Obi-Wan's like, I'm too busy.
All right. So I'm not even going to say my son lost his lovey. My husband and I lost our son's lovey, Horsey. It's this little tiny blanket with a horse head on it and a cute little horse tail and two little horse arms, and that's his go-to lovey. Now, a Burt Show listener hit me up years ago when I was like, oh, my son finally, he chose Horsey as his lovey. And she's like, whatever you do, buy a backup. Just trust me.
So smart.
So we had two Horseys. Well, two Horseys went down to one Horsey when we lost one when we were at Disney. I am 99.9% sure we left it in the bed at the Contemporary Resort where we were staying, okay? So I called Disney. Well, I mean, I didn't call Disney himself.
Yeah. That would be Walt's not picking up.
But I called Disney, and then I went online and filled out the form. And so I have a case number, and they've been working diligently to find Horsey.
No, they haven't.
The case is closed.
Yeah, I bet it is. They haven't found it, and it's time to move on.
That is correct. I got an email that said, do not reply. Okay.
And do not call and never mention us ever again.
Dear Kristen Martingly. That's promising.
If you're a new listener, her last name is Mattingly.
Dear Kristen Martingly, unfortunately, your lost item was unable to be located despite the team's best efforts. Yeah. Regrettably, that means this case must be closed. Wishing you all the best. And then there's a little Tinkerbell going, hing. Oh. She just flitting away.
Let me rewrite that with the truth, okay?
Whatever. We didn't
Dear Mrs. Martingly.
Whoever you are.
When we got your request,
yep.
We all got a good laugh.
Yep.
And then we sent you an email saying that we would update you when we looked for it.
Yep.
I want to let you know we never did.
Gotcha.
Therefore, it was never found.
That makes sense.
Tinkerbell.
R.I.P. Horsey. I'd pour one out, but I already drank all my coffee.
All right, Abby, what is it that guys can crack jokes about that women cannot even touch?
Other than everything, there's one specific thing that somebody called at Corey E. Stewart on TikTok is saying, you know, guys can just crack jokes about this with their friends, but if you did it with women, it just does not hit the same.
Here are some things that my guy friends have done to each other that would send any female friendship up in flames.
Weight gain is by far the best example of this. So one time our friend group didn't see each other for a while, and then we all got back together to play some poker. And one of our friends walked in and he gained a lot of weight. And when he walked in, we all stopped and we looked at him. And one of our friends just said, hey, man, have you been drinking Oreos? And everyone started cracking up. He was laughing. Like, it was a great time. We all enjoyed it. But when we said that, all the women kind of like tightened up. They got a little uncomfortable. And so after that, we were all talking and we asked one of our friend's girlfriends, hey, how much weight would one of your friends have to gain before you said something? Now, we know women aren't going to, you know, be as aggressive with their friends about weight gain because we know it's a much more sensitive topic for women. But how much weight we talking here before you say something? And she said, never going to happen. And we were all wondering, well, never? I mean, 100 pounds? She said no. 200 pounds? She said no. She stuck to it. And so we all found that super funny. She said she would just pretty much leave the situation, which is, I mean, she's not every woman, but I don't know. We just found that hilarious because for men, you gain a little bit of weight, you walk in the room, it's on. But with women, if you say something about that, it's World War III.
100%. And I think that's just because weight affects women differently. Like a fat man moves the world very differently than a woman who's in a bigger body. So it's not really something that's funny to joke about because you're poking at somebody that's very sensitive to women for obvious reasons.
And anybody who gains weight, they're the first ones to know that they have gained weight. Nobody else really needs to point that out to them.
Yeah, except with dudes. The same. Yes. The dude knows that he gained weight also. And he also knows that walk from the car into wherever your dudes are when they haven't seen you in a while, you know you're going to get hell to pay.
You know what time it is.
In a fun way. But it's a completely different world. And every woman knows this too, right? Nobody's made this mistake.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I think most women are not trying to put on weight, but being a woman, sometimes the weight just is it like a magnet to you. So it's just not something that's funny to women because it's not something that like can easily go away. It's usually a problem that women feel like they have.
But you said it's okay. Is it okay to make fun of another man because he's gained weight?
I really don't think men care that much.
Okay. We don't care.
Yeah, not at all.
God, must be freaking nice.
It is. It's very nice. I would ask women to call in that have made fun of their friends that have gained weight, but we would get no calls because they're dead.
They're no longer with us.
They are no longer with us.
The Burt Show.
Do we have any guys listening? Because if we do, we're going to need your help here. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. I'm going to try to explain this. And I think you guys know this. Women know this. And I understand how you could be offended by it when it comes to guys. But what our bodies are doing sometimes are very different than what our mind wants our body to do. And let me give you a great example.
Aren't you supposed to think about like grandma or baseball or something like that?
Sometimes it
work.
Doesn't always.
Are you serious?
Work. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So you're saying you get horny to your grandma?
Nope.
That's what we all heard.
And baseball. Those baseball pants, Junior.
So let me give you a shining example from a friend of mine, a woman that I was talking to on the phone that has firmly placed her husband in the doghouse. And I totally understand where she's coming from, but dude had no say in the matter. So she just lost her grandfather, and she was very close to her grandfather, super close. So they go to the funeral, they do the wake, and then they come home, and she's obviously depressed and crying about it. So her husband, comforting her, is trying to talk to her about it and then goes in for a long extended hug. When she feels on her leg,
no,
that dude is getting aroused physically in the most emotional time of her life.
Wow.
As she's sobbing about her dead grandpa.
Yes.
He's getting a boner.
That
she felt something knocking.
I think I did a better job of describing it.
Oh, sorry.
But yes, that's Kristen subtitles right there. Yes. So I was trying to, she was really hurt that he could put his headspace there when she needed him so badly. And I kept telling her that wasn't his headspace. Not that. Not the top head.
Right.
Not his mind.
His head was taking up some space.
Right. So while he's embracing her in this hug, it sounds foolish to say, but sometimes we can't control what our body is doing in that moment. Because if he could have turned it off, I assure you he would have turned it off. And I assure you, I've been in this situation before also, that you're doing everything in your head to try to make that not happen, and you're starting to panic as well. But when it starts, it is really, really tough to stop it.
From a hug?
Yup.
That situation is unique. I mean, I've never been in a situation where that has happened to me, but I have been in situations where you didn't want it to happen, and it happens.
Yep.
And there's really nothing you can do about it.
Look, I mean, this makes sense, but in high school, I mean, you're hiding that thing constantly.
Oh, well, that's different because you're going through puberty, and like that, I feel like your hormones are heightened.
Yeah.
But as a grown-ass man, giving a woman a hug, and aren't some people, correct me if I'm wrong, are some people turned on by grief? Like seriously. And like funerals, like after maybe. Like something really sad, like it's
like
kind
he's
of
got a grief kink?
Not a grief kink, but like after something like that, in order to make yourself better and to forget the horrible thing that's happened.
You use it as a distraction.
Yes.
I don't know anything
about that. As a deflection, distraction, and so that's where your mind goes.
That's a tough time to start telling your wife that clearly I have a grief kink. That's probably bad timing.
And it got to be over your grief, not your significant other's.
I mean, that is a good point. I want to Google that.
But she didn't buy it at all, and there was nothing I could say to make her feel better about the situation, and there was no at least I couldn't come up with a woman's analogy for that because we're so different.
This is how toxic I am, is that I wouldn't be bothered by this. I would just be like, oh my God, you still think I look good when I'm ugly crying?
You still want me.
You still want me even now when I'm puffy and I got snot coming out of my nose and I'm dry heaving. I'd be like, even then I can get it going.
And the truth of the matter is, when the longer a dude goes, like, the more sensitive you are in those situations. So I don't know. Look, this has probably been going on a long time. I don't know the facts on how quickly the grandfather passed away, but she might have been grieving for a long time and they haven't had any physical touch. Mm-hmm. So when it finally happened, it's more apt to happen when you don't. I don't know, but there was nothing I could say to console her.
There is such a thing as grief kink.
Really?
Of course there is. So newthinking.com has another side of mourning, the sexual expression of grief. And then there's an article by Vice that says, yes, grief can make you horny. Craving sex is an awkward but deeply human response to one of life's worst moments. So maybe, I mean, yes, he's going through his own type of grief because I'm sure he knew Grandpa and he feels bad for his wife. So maybe that had something to do with it.
So she kink shaming, technically.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's on her.
Yeah, flip it.
He should be. He should be mad at her.
She needs to mature.
All right, now y'all are ridiculous.
I mean, does she unconditionally love him or not?
Right.
You want to hear?
She's this? Rude.
Anyway, would you like to hear this first paragraph?
You're going
to
tell it one way or the other.
True. Death is, in general, a bummer, and there's nothing really sexy about it. Yet some percentage of people find themselves and probably motivated to bleep as they mourn the loss of a loved one. It turns out that grief, the emotion that should be the least horny, is actually quite horny.
Yeah, you heard it from Chris.
It is Bible.
It is, right. Like we're damn NPR in here.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
All right, let's get back to Jackson here. We started this a couple of days ago, and I want to give you a little peek behind the scenes once again that in our post-show meetings, when we're all brainstorming things that are going on in our lives, right, I'll come to the table with a personal story, Kristen, and then we go around the room. And when it was Jackson's turn in our post-show meeting, he hits us with this, and we record all of our post-show meetings.
Introspection in the Burt Show HR dinner led me to realize how I have no friends that actually look like me, and that was kind of an interesting thought.
Huh. Racist.
You were the one that asked me if I knew karate at the HR meeting.
This is the audio clip that will never die.
No, it will not. All right, so, but you did have that epiphany in our HR meeting.
Yeah, so at this meeting that we had recently, there was an assignment where we had to write down our 8 closest, most trustworthy friends that weren't family, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing this exercise, and I'm writing all my friends down, and I'm thinking, like, man, you know, I was able to fill this out, like, without really thinking too much about it. I've got a good, close-knit group of friends, and I thought that that was something to, you know, be proud of. And then the person who was running the meeting was basically threw a wrench in my entire plan of feeling proud of saying, now, what do they look like? And do they look like you, and do they think like you?
Because the whole purpose of the HR meeting was to talk about diversity, equity, and equality and
exactly.
inclusion.
Exactly. And so I, you know, people are going around the room sharing. I think Tommy said that, like, you know, all of his friends are basically white. They're in the same kind of socioeconomic status as him. And I threw out a joke that none of the people that I wrote look like me, and they all make more money than me. And so it kind of just got passed over, but it wasn't until afterwards where I started to, like, really, you know, dig down and think a little bit, like, man, I really have no Asian friends. And it kind of struck me, like, I remember my mom always told me that, like, I would naturally be more inclined and attracted towards groups of Asians, and that would always come more naturally. And in my experience, that just has never been the case. I've always felt a little bit more, like, ostracized by that side of, you know, my life. And so
why do you think that is?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the schooling that I went to. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really think so much about race when you're a kid. And that's honestly the time where I was surrounded by the most Asians. Once I was in middle school, I swapped over to a private school where it was like 99% white. And so I think through that is where I started, like, kind of rejecting the identity a little bit more. And I was always just known as, like, the token Asian of the group of, like, you know, there's always one. And so that led into college as well. Like, I joined a fraternity. They've always made jokes that, like, every pledge class has one Asian. So, like, and it's your job to, like, replace replace yourself with the next one underneath you. And, you know, it took me a little bit of thinking to realize, like, man, like, maybe this is something that I shouldn't have been rejecting for so long. And I think what really also stood out during the meeting was Mo and Katie had a lot to say at this meeting, rightfully so. And I could just tell the amount of, like, pride that they had in talking about their own culture. And I'm just sitting there like, man, I am so disconnected from that on my side that it didn't feel great, honestly.
So after that meeting, it didn't feel great. And I do think you're being a little harsh on yourself. But does that mean you want to make any changes in your life? To embrace your culture more?
I don't know if this means, like, that I'm going to be going out and seeking Asian friends, per se.
You're going to get, like, a sign on the side of the road. Befriend me if you're Asian.
Well, you know, in sticking with Abby potentially getting canceled for this, I got a text from her on Saturday, and she's at some restaurant and literally sends me a photo this group of Asians and goes, "Do you want me to talk to them for you?"
Just trying to set you up. That's a good friend right there.
Yeah, I was not expecting that even in the slightest. But, you know,
do you
again,
want an Asian buddy?
I mean, maybe. No, yeah. Maybe
maybe we should try this. Is it any Asian, or is it Korean we're looking for? Because you're Korean. I'm
Korean
assuming.
Would be preferred. The thing that makes this tough, though, is that I have really never in my life found a Korean that's like me. Like, besides a lot of my cousins, someone who grew up in a household with Korean parents but doesn't know the language, is pretty disconnected from the culture apart from maybe food. And, like, it feels like so many more Asians that I meet have much closer ties to their culture and their roots, and they also are able to kind of flip the other side and be friends with, you know, all other types of people. Whereas for me, like, I've always just felt more comfortable around, you know, white people, but that's just kind of a product of the environment that I grew up in.
Which is the total opposite of you, right?
Somewhat. I mean, when I lived in New York, I was predominantly always around black people. But for the years that I lived in Colorado, I was predominantly always around white people. So I guess that's why my group of friends is so diverse today, because I've just always been in completely different, diverse environments. Mm-hmm.
But if you had your preference, would you rather hang out with a group of white people or a group of black people?
See, but that's a tricky question, because would I be more comfortable with a group of black people? Absolutely.
Okay.
But I have white friends that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Gotcha.
So I think it genuinely is important to have both.
I remember taking a multicultural class at San Diego State, one of the few classes I actually attended. And I remember walking into that class, and it was about this very thing. It was about cultures and how we assimilate to each other and stuff like that. So we all sit down on the first day, and the professor says, "I want everybody to take a look around the room right now." Now, these were all strangers. They had never met each other before. But he said, "Look to your left and look to your right." And when we all did that, we had subconsciously surrounded ourselves with the same people that we looked like. So we had a group of white people on the right side of the room, right? Black people were all hanging out. Asians were all hanging out. Latinos were all hanging out in their own groups, and they had never even met each other before. It just happened.
This happened at our HR meeting.
Yeah. It sure did.
Every minority sat at the same table.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
So maybe we need to establish, like, much like your Big Brother program, maybe we need to do that with Jackson here.
Get you someone an Asian buddy, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I think it's more about finding someone that I can relate to in, like, my situation and the way that, I, you know, I've been raised and grown up. It's not necessarily has to be, you know, a Korean specifically, but just finding someone that can kind of resonate with what I've gone through.
Listen, beggars can't be choosers in the beginning, Jackson. Okay? You take what you can get.
That is true.
It's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.